Who?
The ugliest, meanest woman ever to spring from a horse thighs.
John!
What?
She was an absolutely dreadful baron. The last time we were here, we ran into her.
Press ganged me and your father.
And she tried making Loverboy here one of her sex slaves.
You, Dad?
Mm-hmm. It's no laughing matter, Dean. That woman was a black widow. Many an unlucky bastard died between her legs.
I'd rather die standing.
Oh, come on, Dad. You know you really wanted it.
The one-eyed warrior reached across the campfire to cuff his son around the head.
Ow!
Now, my dear Ryan. Surely you cannot blame your son for pointing out that which, to the rest of us, is nothing more than the obvious.
Ryan stopped and glared at Doc for a second before cracking a smile.
I guess my secret's out. Sorry, Christy.
I'll start rubbing myself with whale oil and put on about 80 pounds.
The companions were making the most of this opportunity. Chances to truly relax were few and far between. But Mildred saw the expression on Jack's face. He was always stone-faced and impassive, but even he would usually have joined in the ribbing. Tonight he was distant, as though not even listening.
Jack, what is it?
He looked at her with eyes that, despite their fiery red, were as cold as ice.
Know this place.
Not again.
All attention was on Jack. Haltingly, he told them of his nightmare while in the semi-coma. He gave them every detail he could remember, including the precise landscape in which they now found themselves. Then he reminded them of his previous dream about Gloria. When Jack finally finished, there was silence as the companions pondered what he had told them.
I think it would be sheer folly to discount Master Lauren's experience. After all, has he not shown himself to be in some way empathic to the Gate Tribe?
Jack has some kind of link with Gloria, and that this dream was trying to tell him something, and us.
Indeed, young Calder.
But the settings on those comps were random. How could it land us near both the Gate and the Illuminated Ones? Sure as shit, it'd be designed to spread anyone using those chambers after them as far apart as possible.
The ways of the White Coats are not something that can be easily comprehended. Their minds worked in perverse manners, and the Illuminated Ones are descendants of that foul breed.
I figure that we should keep on Triple Red. Sooner or later, we're going to run into trouble.
Ryan, tell me when we don't.
Despite this, and the aura of expectation created by Jack's nightmare, it was some days before they encountered any sign of life beyond the small mammals and birds that populated the area. They crossed a vast region of sparsely wooded land, with little in the way of outstanding land masses, and the monotony of the vista before them was beginning to make them wonder if anybody lived there. It was then, when their guard was lowered, that the question was answered. JB had defined a course north by northwest, and they just crossed the remains of what had once been a series of fields with large arable crops, when Jack stopped, tense with sudden awareness.
What is it, Jack?
Listen.
Everybody stopped. All ears were attuned to the silence, although none but Jack seemed able to detect anything. However, Ryan noticed that Christy's sentient hair had begun to curl closer to her scalp, wrapping itself protectively around her neck.
Look, over there!
Dean pointed to the northeast. Turning, the rest of the companions could see a distant dot that was rapidly approaching, growing into a recognizable shape, and yet...
Holy shit! I never thought I'd see one of those again.
Approaching them, growing larger each second, was a pre-dark biplane, making good time and homing in on them.
An airplane?
What?
Whatever it is, it's got us out in the open. Take cover! Spread and keep moving until you find it. Don't give them a chance to take us as a group. Fire blast.
Ryan dove and rolled for a clump of bushes as gunshells tore at his heels. Coming up for air, he could see that J.B., Mildred, and Doc had found similar cover, while Christy, Jack, and Dean were headed for more outlying clumps. The Sec Machine's pilot had to be distracted so they could attain that cover.
J.B., try and take out the engine.
Okay, but wait until it drops a little more. Won't hit it otherwise.
Watching the craft turn and start to fire on the three still heading for cover, Ryan felt a gnawing impatience. He wanted to protect his people from being fired upon, but knew that JB was right. To fire now would be nothing less than wasting ammo, as the aircraft was still out of range. Blaster fire strafed the ground around Dean, Jack, and Christy, in a wide arc that encompassed all three.
Gaia, damn it!
Ryan, now!
The one-eyed warrior and the armorer both stood up from their cover and took aim. Dense clouds of black smoke began to rise from the plane's engine, and its path dipped and swerved as though the pilot had momentarily lost control. The biplane turned and headed off shakily, the course erratic and the engine spluttering. The companions regrouped, watching it recede into the distance.
Well, at least we know there's a Ville nearby. We just need to follow the trail.
Where we will no doubt be assured a cordial welcome.
They followed the direction of the retreating biplane, which took them away from their original course. The prospect of finding some kind of Ville was too good to ignore, even though, as Doc had pointed out, they were unlikely to receive a warm welcome. After a while, trekking over the rotting arable fields, they came to the remains of a two-lane blacktop road that stretched into the distance. The plane's oily smoke trail was still etched in the sky. JB looked toward the west where the plane was headed, shielding his eyes from the sun's glare.
It's holding up well and not dipping.
Which means?
That the Ville it came from is still some distance, Dean. A good dozen miles, I reckon.
Let's still head for it. We'll try and keep good time, but stay triple red. Nearer we get,
the more likely to be sec patrols. We hear you, Ryan.
They strung out in formation and proceeded along the side of the road, ignoring the smooth surface in preference to a rutted drainage ditch that ran along the side. It provided cover, and more importantly, would do the same for any sec ambushes. They would have to flush out this territory as they traveled along. After the first 4 miles, the only sign they had of any kind of habitation were dirt roads that would lead off the blacktop at semi-regular intervals.
Where do you think those roads go?
They could be access roads, John.
Any chance of them being in use, Mildred?
Doubt it, Ryan. Take a look at them.
Ryan cast his good eye over the state of the roads and tracks. They were rutted and cracked with little signs of use, whereas the blacktop, despite the cracks of age and earth movement, had traces of recent usage.
Yeah. Anything that comes along this way only uses the main drag and leaves the sides well enough alone.
Which means we should find the Ville, the only populated place around these parts.
Progress was slow, and after 6 miles there were signs across the flat landscape that other old blacktop roads were beginning to converge in the distance. Ryan eyed them speculatively as they took a rest.
JB, do you remember ever coming around these parts with Trader?
The armorer removed his fedora to mop his forehead and then polished his spectacles, thinking carefully before answering.
No, I don't reckon I do. But thinking about where we are, I do remember something I heard about. There was talk of a trade route along the eastern trail that went through a Ville called Crossroads that had four old blacktop roads, still in good repair, come together from the four points of the compass.
I can see three from here. Guess the other one wouldn't be visible until we were actually in the Ville. That many blacktops isn't that common, and neither is a Ville right in the middle. Remember anything said about it?
Not that could help us. Good gaudies, good whiskey. The Baron was a guy called Roberts or Johnson, I think. Pretty laid back.
So perhaps we should not be too pessimistic about our reception after all.
I wouldn't bet on that, Doc. After all, we did blast one of his sec men, and a Ville like that is worth a lot of jack, which means a lot of heavy sec.
Ah, well, so much for wishful thinking. Shall we press on and face the inevitable?
It wasn't until they were less than 2 miles from the Ville and could see the buildings in the distance that the trouble began. Ryan suddenly halted. Knowing there had to be a reason, everybody else came to a halt and drew their blasters. JB moved around the rest, keeping low, until he came to Ryan.
What is it?
With the Stire's long barrel, Ryan indicated 3 points in front of them, fanning out across the level of road.
I just got sight of a man keeping low to the road. There's movement in the foliage there and there, and I don't reckon the moving man was the one I saw originally. I figure they're moving across the different posts and relays.
Split in two parties and take them?
Yeah, but try not to chill them. We don't want to piss the Baron off by chilling some of his men. But we don't want them taking us out before we have a chance to say hello.
With you there. How are we going to do this?
Me, Christy, and Dean will try and get across the blacktop and take out that side.
What about Jack?
JB was aware that the albino was the best suited among them to lead a raid like this. Ryan would normally have no hesitation in picking him. But now? Ryan looked back to where Jack was waiting, aware that his words could be heard by all.
I don't want to risk Jack right now. I know it's been a while since he was out of it, but I won't risk a good man until he's sure and I'm sure.
Ryan looked back at Jack as he spoke, and was gratified to see the young warrior nod almost imperceptibly.
Jack can lead on this side.
All right. We'll cover you. If it doesn't go off, signal when you're in position, and we'll advance into meeting.